Turn now to the word that we read, and also to verse or two in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll just read four verses there from the beginning. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So here we're speaking, friends, in and reading in Exodus 14 about a baptism of a whole nation. Might seem today that the nation of Ukraine is going through a baptism of fire. That may well be the case, and may God work and speak to that nation in their trouble and under the threat of their enemies. But here we have the children of Israel also threatened by their enemies and put to the test. Their faith was put to the test. We're told that by faith Moses took them through the Red Sea, and we also are daily and weekly tested by our faith. Are we not, friends? Are we coming here today with faith and expectation so that the Lord will have something ready for us, an answer, and reward our faith? Are we living each morning, rising with faith, saying, I'm trusting myself to the Lord for today? And each challenge that comes along, are we saying, Lord, this is where I need help. This is where I trust. I'm putting myself in your hands. Reminds me of one of the Covenanters, Luke Fraser, who lived in a place called Glen Mead, near to Closeburn in Nithsdale. And he's a man at Harvard, the Covenanting preachers. He lived in a remote farm, and he was sympathetic with the cause of Christ, but it put him in great danger. And it became known to the king's men, the soldiers, and they would raid his farm, and he had to be on the watch. One day he was caught out. He was in the house when the soldiers arrived and surrounded the house. And then they came through the door and began to run through the house. He was just in time to get into a small room or closet under the stairs, which had a window. And he was hiding there when he realized, no, this is not safe. I'm going to be caught here. So he opened the little window and managed to squeeze through the window and got to his feet. And when he got to his feet, he found himself face to face with a soldier with his gun ready. And he thought, this is it. And he said to the soldier, well, I'm in your power now. And the soldier said, yes, you're in my power. But today I choose to let you go. Hurry. Luke immediately dived off into the field. There was ripe corn there in the field, and he lay down among the corn, and the soldiers stretched everywhere and went away defeated. It seemed that it was in the power of that soldier, friends, but because he was trusting in God, even that soldier and his weapon were still dependent on what God had appointed. And he appointed life for his servant, and he escaped. How often has your faith, friend, been put to the test? You not, may not be in danger of your life, but your soul is in danger day by day, and you will be threatened to take the wrong course, to put yourself at the mercy of your enemies, of your soul. Will your faith, does your faith take you through? Are you practicing exercising faith? Let's learn some lesson today from this. First of all, friends, regarding Israel, this was a day of birth. It was the birthday of the people of God, the people of Israel, the church of God in Israel. It's as if they'd been born out of the womb of Egypt and were just like a newborn, trembling and frail, vulnerable. So it was with their faith, as you can see. It was just swithering. Was there spiritual life there or not? Perhaps you've seen a little child being born and say, is it going to live? And then you see the blue turning to pink, and you maybe hear a cough or a cry, and you realize, he's alive. Are you breathing that breath of faith today, friends? Are we all alive? The breath of life born out of sin and out of our Egypt. It was a day of birth. They came through that birth canal, you can say, that passage of the Red Sea, until they emerged on the way to their promised land. As it says in verse 16, lift up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. That dry ground is the ground of faith. When the sea went past, it didn't leave a marshy ground. It was dry. And God provides a sure footing for his people. I'm told that some archaeologist went along the Red Sea, and he was told there's no way Israel could cross. It's so deep. There's no way all that people and cattle and children could go down there. But he came to one place, and when he tested from the ship the depths of the sea, he discovered at that place there was a reef crossing the sea, so that it only needed the water to be swept away, and it would emerge as a dry causeway for the people, prepared there from the creation, a passage prepared. Friends, God prepares a passage of life that you must tread to attain the promised land. It was also a place of birth because of the presence of the wind. The wind, of course, represents the Spirit of God. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land. You felt the force of the wind last night, didn't you? Beating against your windows, shaking your house or your chimney. The power of the Spirit, friends. Have you felt that power? That power that drives away the threat of the floods and provides the dry ground. Faith, friends, trust in the Spirit Allow the Spirit to prepare a way for you. It was a place of birth. Do you know this, friends? It was also a place of death. The very place that spelt life to one was death to the other. Birth is a frightening thing because sometimes it's death that comes rather than life. This was life for some and death for others. It's death because a division was made. Fear not, stand still, says Moses. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show for the Egyptians. Whom you see today, you shall see them again, no more, forever. Why? Because God put a mighty division in his providence and in his election between the one and the other. Is it because the Israelites were holy and faithful? No, you can see how poor they were in their discipleship and in their following of the Lord, but the Lord had appointed life for them. Can you rejoice today, friends, in that division, that you're on the right side of that division? There are many around you who are still dead in sin and will remain dead and enter eternity for the second death. And you will enter into life. Yes, it was a place of death because of the division that was made. There was a cut-off point when the last Israel child and last Israel sheep reached the dry land. Then Moses stretched out his hand. The waters, the powerful, irresistible waters, poured back. The wall broke, and the Egyptians were crushed under the power of the sea. And so a life was ended there. A life was ended. A life was ended for the Israelites. Up to that point, their lives had been tied to the Egyptians. Whether they liked it or not, they were under the thumb, under the cruel lash, under the mighty, undisputed authority of Egypt. But now, that was all changed. That old life was ended, friends. A new life began. A life of independence, of freedom began. That's the path that we go through. Yes, the believer has to die to that old life. It's a place of death. And daily, friends, you must mortify that old life. You must make a practice of choosing faith and discarding what the Israelites were guilty of, complaining. In the morning you say, oh, is it the same thing again? Have I got to carry this burden again? It seems to go on and on. Friends, no. Life is not some monotonous drudge. It is an opportunity for faith. And that's where life is breathed in. And we disperse the complaints and the defeat and the grumbles. We say, oh, I don't think anything's going to happen this year. It's just going to be the same old thing. Same old thing. Don't raise your hopes. Friends, it's a lie. God has great things in store. But we must grasp them with both hands. We must expect the Lord to be moving this year. Die to the old unbelief. It was a place of death because judgment was visited. And Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. I don't know what the outcome of this war in Ukraine will be. But it could very well be that the prayers of his children in Ukraine are answered, and Putin is compelled to retreat, to go back, or to make do with some little extension of his tyranny. I don't know, but that's not our issue. Our issue is with the kingdom of God. To expect God to visit his judgment. Have you ever seen such storms and such interruption of the ferry sailings as this year? And they persist in crossing that sea on the Sabbath day. Is it any wonder that they're fighting against the Creator? Can you see it? His judgment was visited. It was a death. Third, friends, it was a cleansing. This is all to do about water. And water is for cleansing. First of all, there was the water above. There was the cloud that was sprinkling them. They were baptized in the cloud. The pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. That cloud was a present. And Paul says it's an Old Testament baptism when they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. But you and I know that cloud was a symbol of the covenanting presence of the Lord by his Spirit. The Spirit was at work here, and he was cleansing. He was disabusing the Israelites of their fears. Because we're told that as the cloud frowned upon the Israelites, upon Pharaoh, it gave light. The Israelites were bathed in light. What a marvelous evidence of God's favor upon them in the middle of the night. There was this brightness around them. It wasn't just the sea, friends, it was the cloud. It was the evidence. That brightness, of course, was the brightness of his face. The brightness of the Spirit of God to lighten them. Do you have that brightness? The Lord's my light. Can you shout that out today, friends? The Lord is my light. I'm following his light. I'm being guided from Monday to Saturday. And then I get refreshed on the Lord's day because I've got a light. The Lord shall light my lamp. There was light. The cloud was sprinkling them. But of course then there was the water of the sea. And it was setting them free. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. The sea returned in his strength when the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Here was a force much greater than Moses or Pharaoh or any man. But that force, these mighty forces answered to the mere hand of a man. Isn't that amazing? What power Moses had, what a powerful hand. No. His hand was as weak as that day when it came out leprous from his bosom. It was a sinner's hand. But it was a hand in the hand of God. It was a hand directed and governed and obedient to God. Friends, that's the hand that God gives to his church. A hand that can do mightier things than any man can do on his own. This is what belongs to the church, friends. And it uses that water to free us. It uses that Red Sea, that Red Sea of the blood of Christ, to cleanse away all sin. Friends, are you raising your hand to see that sea, that Red Sea of his blood, wash the sins that are too powerful for you? The weaknesses and failings and doubts, get them swept away today. Raise your hand in faith and say, Lord, grant me deliverance from the sins that so easily beset me. Let the church live in the victory of that freedom. It was a cleansing. It was a separation. There was an angelic separation going on. The angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. It wasn't just water and sea, of course, but there was a cleansing angelic presence. Yes, water of itself is just a material thing. But this wasn't just water. The water was accompanied by the presence of the angel of God. How often we forget that we are guarded by angels. How often we forget that we have heavenly resources accompanying us on the way. What a glorious marching we have, friends. Of course, the angel of God we can think of as of Christ. Do you sense, are you aware of your Savior every day, friends? Are you accompanied? Are you being shepherded by the Savior? Or are you losing sight of the glorious angelic presence of Christ, the messenger of the covenant? He's fulfilling his purpose for you, is he not? And lastly, friends, there was a birth, there was a death, there was a cleansing, there was a sacrament. This was a sacrament being acted out. In other words, it was a visible, tangible representation of a great spiritual saving work. How often do you think of your baptism, friends? I want you to think of it again today. Before, of course, you were aware, your parents took you to the church. Probably it was along there to Kenneth Street. It may have been Ness or some other. But what happened was that you were presented to the Lord to be received as a child of the everlasting covenant. Your little life was tied to the eternal purpose of Almighty God. What a privilege. What a privilege. You who seem so insignificant. You don't matter to a lot of people, but you matter to the eternal God, so that from eternity to eternity he has you as his own, symbolized by that covenant privilege. What is it about us that makes it a sacrament? The Lord was present. The Lord was present. Was he present at your baptism? That's what it was all about. You were brought into the presence of his people and into the presence of his word and into the presence of his promises and into the presence of the Spirit of God and the promises of his salvation in Christ. The Lord was present, it says, and it came to pass that on the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians. One man with God as a majority. Didn't matter how defenseless the children of Israel were, when the Lord looked upon the Egyptians, their hopes were gone. He troubled the host of the Egyptians. Ah, friends, when we have the presence of the Lord with us, the enemies of God will be afraid. They seem so arrogant these days, don't they? But if we face them with the Lord along with us, I'm telling you, they will quake. They can be ruling Scotland. They can be ruling the universities. They can be ruling the schools. They can be ruling everything. But they will tremble if we stand for the things of God, stand as the redeemed of Christ. The Lord was present. The word was confirmed, friends, on that day. It says in verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them. I will get me honor. And upon all his host and upon all his horsemen, I will. And what happened? The will of the Lord was done. Totally. They were all swept away. Not one escaped. The word was confirmed. That's what happens in a sacrament, friends. You take the promise of God and you apply with water and with the word of promise. And that child comes under the privileges of the glorious church of Jesus Christ. It happened to you. Why are you not thinking more about it? Can you think about it like these Israelites? Did they forget about the Red Sea? No. They failed in many ways, but they never forgot that crossing. Don't you forget how privileged you are under a saving ordinance. And then the covenant was sealed. In a sacrament, the covenant is sealed. This is represented by the pillar of fire that went with them. And it continues all the way through. It's something that started and continued all the way of their lives till they reached the promised land. The whole story is in Numbers chapter 9. It says there, speak unto the children of Israel, say, if any man of you... Sorry, verse 16, I think. I'll read that one. So it was always the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that, the children of Israel journeyed. The cloud was tied to the tabernacle. The tabernacle of the covenant. So, friends, it was sacramental, that passage of the sea, because there the cloud was attached from then on to the people of God. Friends, when we have our sacrament, it's a timely reminder to us that we are attached to the spirit of the covenant and the word of the covenant and the seal of the covenant, an unbreakable seal by which you are sealed to the day of redemption. And how is it? It's because you have a mighty Savior who was with, who went through the Red Sea with his people and goes through us, through the wilderness with us as well. You know, as a concluding lesson, let's think of these three things. What was wrong with these Israelites despite their privilege? Because it can be wrong with us. They were unmindful, weren't they? You see how they complained. They said, why did you take us out of Egypt? They were unmindful. Are you unmindful? Or are you mindful? A Christian must be a mindful person, always resorting to the promises and the blessings, past and future. Be mindful. The other thing was they were unthankful. They'd seen God's wonders in Egypt, and here they were out of Egypt. They'd had the Passover when death had visited all around them and they were alive. Were they not thankful that they were not dead, that their oldest sons, the firstborn, were there? Their families were complete. They were unthankful. Scarce to imagine, isn't it? And isn't it shameful how unthankful we are? You know, we should be thanking the Lord first thing we wake in the morning, before you even get out of your bed. Raise your thanks to the Lord and say, I'm alive. I have a Savior. I'm covered by the blood. I can go in His strength. He has prepared the way before me. Thanks be to God. Live a thankful life. They were unfaithful. They weren't believing that it was happening. It was happening, and they still weren't believing. Until at last, Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. And His servant Moses, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bless Thee for that mighty salvation wrought when that ocean of blood flowed from the side of our Savior to wash multitudes of poor, filthy sinners like us. Oh, the cleansing. Oh, the deliverance. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. We thank Thee, Lord. Amen.